It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
Vast legions of so-called academicians have been and are a willful part of the cancerous insanity and denial that's pushing our planet and all life toward near-term omnicide. Consider carefully the following quote and apply it to the official denial of climate engineering from elected officials, agencies, and academicians. Official denial of vaccine dangers, of the truth about 9/11, and countless other issues in which academia has completely betrayed the human race in the entire web of life. Here's the quote. I know that most men, including those at ease with the greatest complexities, can seldom accept even the simplest and most obvious truth if it be such as would oblige them to admit to the falsity of conclusions which they have delighted in explaining to their colleagues, which they have proudly taught to others, and which they have woven thread by thread into the fabric of their lives. Leo Tolstoy. On the theme of academicians that are not telling the whole truth, in this broadcast, I will play a 5-minute audio from scientist and frontline climate collapse researcher Guy McPherson. In this report, McPherson correctly states that on the current course, humans will likely be extinct in less than a decade, with the exception of those living below ground in bunkers. Nuclear warfare would, of course, radically accelerate this timescale. But what massive part of the equation, what massive truth is McPherson completely omitting? An element that, if exposed and halted, could at least buy us some time to alter our current course of certain near-term planetary omnicide. Could McPherson really be completely ignorant of this critically important variable? Or is the much more likely scenario this? Scientist Guy McPherson is blatantly lying. As Leo Tolstoy correctly stated so long ago, is Guy McPherson too committed to his lie to turn back? Is this in fact the case with legions of academicians who continue to toe the lies of the power structure as they have been so well trained and programmed to do? The shocking 5-minute report on the rapidly unfolding total global extinction from a live New Zealand radio broadcast is coming up. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for March 31st, 2018. This commercial-free news hour is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7, Sunday mornings from 7 to 8. Global Alert News is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. Again, a reminder, if you're in the Redding-Shasta County area near Orchard Nutrition, geoengineeringwatch.org awareness materials can be picked up for free from Orchard Nutrition. Check with the staff in the vitamins section. This is critically important information to share, understand, and pass on to others. For those not in the Redding area, Geoengineering Watch awareness materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Jim Fair, again, the very, very committed ally to stopping geoengineering, their event this week in Salt Lake City, Utah, started yesterday, ends tomorrow at the Mountain America Exposition Center. If you're in that region, attend the geoengineeringwatch.org awareness booth, pick up free materials, help to sound the alarm. All of us are needed. Next week, the Jim Fair event in Puyallup, Washington. That's April 6th through April 8th. For future events, check the Jim Fair home site. Again, announcement, Northern California Major Awareness Event being planned for July. Stay tuned for more details on that. Quick announcement on the visitors to geoengineeringwatch.org. We have now had over 30 million visitors to our site. We need people who have visited the site, understand what's going on in our skies, to help us to sound the alarm. Sitting on the sidelines will not avert the converging cataclysms that are closing in on us all. All of us are needed to help change course. Mainstream media is not just blatantly lying. They're not just spinning the facts. They're not just telling one side of the story. They are now resorting to all-out blatant lying. The UK poisoning false flag is only the latest case in point. Russia blamed for UK poisoning with no proof whatsoever. More on this story later in this broadcast because it's a part of the whole picture that's unfolding. Remember this, though, as you see this sort of maneuvering going on the geopolitical front, all major powers are colluding and cooperating on climate engineering. There's no arguing that fact. Whatever's going on at the surface, that's what's going on behind the scenes. How does the power structure see us, the public, as willfully ignorant, willfully complacent, and willing to go along with the accelerating insanity we are all surrounded in? This very important report headline is from multiple sources along the lines of what I had just mentioned. Mainstream media blackout as Italian parliamentary commission find major problems with vaccines after an 18-year investigation, finds higher risks of death and illness such as cancer, autoimmune disorders, and hypersensitivity associated. The findings of this research do not fit in with what we are told by the mainstream media that vaccines are perfectly safe. This report should be making headline news, but the controlled mainstream media is hiding it away. And the same is true with the medical industrial complex, isn't it? Those who toe the line for proven harmful vaccinations, neurotoxins a part of those vaccinations, how could it not be harmful to inject neurotoxins into your body, into your children's bodies? Aluminum, mercury, the combination of those two elements, in fact, overall toxicity increases as much as 10,000%. Highly toxic materials. How could it not cause a problem? When will the public utilize its sense of reason and break with the herd mentality? Continuing with the theme of total public deception and willful societal blindness, here is a headline to consider from the Breitbart Total Disinformation Center. Scott Pruitt is winning, bans junk science from Environmental Protection Agency. Listen to this report. What does it say? Overall, let me summarize this report. In fact, here's what it says in short. Inhalation of ultrafine particulate matter is not harmful to your health. And they're talking about 2.5 microns. And we know the smaller the particle, the more harmful it is because it's more bioavailable. It's absorbed through your lung lining straight into your bloodstream. And this is where the climate engineering fallout is so incredibly dangerous. So in regard to this Breitbart false information, total, incredibly preposterous disinformation, how is that for covering the tracks of the highly toxic climate engineering nanoparticulate pollution, along with every other form of human pollution? Just say it's not harmful. And the report also said this, again from Breitbart, the chemical DDT is also not harmful. People actually believe this if they see it from a source that they feel connected to because it fits with what they want to believe about the world. It fits their desire to be a part of a certain herd. The level of insanity in the asylum is getting worse by the day. And this is on all sides of the political fence, including the so-called left and the environmental groups who are simply ignoring the climate engineering, weather warfare, biological warfare assault that's going on in our skies every single day that one would have to be clinically blind not to see. It's certainly not condensation. Let's use our sense of reason again. For those who have seen films of people and or vehicles in the coldest places in the world, let's say Antarctica, do we see a cloud hanging over them from the condensation from their breath or a vehicle exhaust in some of those cold regions? And by the way, with vehicle exhaust, consider that that is 100% combusted air. In the case of a high bypass turbofan jet engine, only 15% of the air that passes through that is combusted. It's a jet-powered fan. By design, the high bypass turbofan jet engine, which is standard on all commercial carriers and all military tankers, is nearly incapable of producing any condensation trail except under the most rare and extreme of circumstances. We are not seeing condensation in our skies. We are seeing massive particulate dispersions, and the results are showing up on the ground. When we know the primary elements of climate engineering patents, again, starting with aluminum, showing up in bees and insect collapse, which I'll get to later on in this program as well. We have an updated report also. And every known human disease associated with exposure to, for example, aluminum is happening at epidemic levels. And we have Breitbart telling us, don't worry, it's all fine, just junk science. And thanking Scott Pruitt for telling us that blatant, bold, glaring lie. And again, for the environmental communities that will rightfully criticize Breitbart, they should look in the mirror as they also ignore the climate engineering global assault. Back to, again, biosphere collapse, global economy will follow. How's the global economy really doing? Here's just a small sampling of new headlines to consider before I get to more important stories. Because the most important story, the bottom line, is the planet's ability to support life, is it not? And make no mistake about it, the planet's ability to support life is unraveling by the day. Here's just a sample of the headlines from the disintegrating economy. Can't be hidden for much longer, no matter how much money they print. Bezos battered, $13 billion net worth loss as Amazon crashes. Another headline, Tesla is just months away from total collapse, says hedge fund manager. Another headline, chemical group Soleil to cut 600 jobs in France, Portugal, and Brazil. Another headline, Nokia confirms 353 job cuts in Finland. Another headline, Opel starts voluntary job cut plan to avoid factory closures. Another headline, embattled Dubai fund is said to cut about 15% of jobs. Another headline, Bank of Ireland to cut up to 200 jobs. Again, remember, that's just a sample. And the bottom line, as I just stated, as the biosphere implodes, the never sustainable paradigm was never sustainable of industrialized, militarized society will follow. There is no other possibility. Moving on, the U.S. government, the criminal cabal that masquerades as a government. Here's a headline. The U.S. government just destroyed our privacy while nobody was paying attention, from anti-media. While the nation remained fixated on gun control and Facebook's violative practices last week, the U.S. government quietly codified the Cloud Act, its own intrusive policies on citizens' data. While the massive $1.2 trillion omnibus spending bill passed Friday received widespread media attention, the Cloud Act, which lawmakers snuck into the end of the 2,300-page bill, was hardly addressed. The noose is being pulled around our collective necks, and the ever more desperate power structure wants to monitor what each and every one of us do. The power structure is petrified that the public might manage to open their eyes and see through the smoke and mirrors and understand that we are being pushed toward near-term planetary omnicide. This next headline is from cleantechnica.com. Emissions from fracking 5 times higher than reported, and that statistic is still very conservative. It's much worse than that. Natural gas, from this report, is not a, quote, bridge to fuel the future. It is a death sentence for humanity. Think that is too strong, the report states? Think again. A new study by the Environmental Defense Fund, and even though this study is accurate, in fact, conservative, EDF, our attorneys from the Legal Alliance to Stop Geoengineering, have communicated with the EDF attorneys, and they do not wish to address climate engineering because that might jeopardize their 501s, as with all the environmental groups. Total hypocrisy. But let me continue from the report. We can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. All of us need to learn to sift through the information because there's no question about the methane situation. The EDF study finds that methane escaping from fracking operations is 5 times higher than what oil and gas companies reported. With people like Scott Pruitt in office, no wonder, who wants to sweep everything under the rug and push the looting, plundering, pillaging, and sacking of the planet until there's nothing left. And again, let's not forget the planet-killing amounts of formerly frozen methane blowing out of the Arctic seafloor, which climate engineering operations are further fueling and which institutions like Breitbart are helping to hide by telling us that breathing fine particulates, which our atmosphere is now saturated with thanks to climate engineering and other forms of human pollution, but climate engineering, the single greatest source mathematically of particulate pollution, is not harmful for us. So says Breitbart. This headline from the UK Guardian and other sources. Trump plan could open giant sequoia monument to logging. Hey, there's a great idea. Let's cut down the few trees that are left. From the report, as the Trump administration continues to roll back protections on public lands, timber industry advocates are pushing to reduce federal defenses for California's giant trees. In the case of the redwoods, there's only about 3% of the old growth trees left, and we're going to cut those down as well. Total insanity, total lack of regard for the planet and the environment on which our lives depend. And we are about to find out the hard way that such contempt toward the planet's life support systems leads to a very, very poor and immediate end. So what's the power structure mentality in regard to forests? They're all going to burn anyway, so why not ramp up the looting, plundering, and pillaging, as I just stated, of what's left? That's their mentality. Consider this headline from OutsideOnline.com. In 20 years, wildfires will be 6 times larger. Because of drought and rising temperatures, wildfires in the West will grow so large and regular that they could reshape entire forests. Now let's back up and look at this headline for a moment. In 20 years, another headline of pacification. It's right now. It's right now. Canada has already had 600%. That's 6 times their historical average for fires, which I would argue is still a high average because they take an ever more recent bracket of time. And we have this headline saying it could come in 6 years. It could get larger. Siberia, in recent years, has lost as much as 100 million acres in a year. Forests are incinerating all over the globe. And in the case of forest fires, the single greatest causal factor, which you will not be told about by all the environmental groups who are worried about their 501c3s. Single greatest causal factor, climate engineering. Why? Because climate engineering is totally disrupting the hydrological cycle, the rain cycle. It's destroying the ozone layer, which is frying the trees from the top down. It's toxifying the precipitation, which is poisoning the trees from the roots up. We have an incendiary dust coating the foliage, which makes it burn hotter. And we have much more dry lightning, again, because of the disrupted hydrological cycle and because we have an ionized atmosphere. It's much more electrically conductive. From every direction, climate engineering is fueling these wildfires, and we have environmental groups all over the globe denying it. We have groups on the other side of the fence. I hear this all too often. It's truly perplexing of people who think that cutting down the forest, decimating the forest, is good for the forest somehow. Somehow the forest needs that. Could not be further from the truth. Hypocrisy and willful blindness on all sides of the fence. The total planetary meltdown continues to accelerate. What we collectively face is exponentially worse than what the vast majority yet understand or want to understand. What we face is most correctly categorized as an abrupt climate collapse. In regard to the collapse, though there are countless forms of anthropogenic activity, human activity, fueling this collapse, and anybody who thinks otherwise or says otherwise or concludes otherwise is simply ignoring reality. Every form of human activity that alters the energy balance of the planet is a form of geoengineering. It's altering the former balance of the web of life and the climate system. But the single most disruptive factor of all, and this is saying a lot, is climate engineering, the willful intervention with Earth's life support systems. As biosphere collapse unfolds, power structure-controlled disinformation sources like the Weather Channel continue to chant clearly scripted narratives. Here is an example, and I'm quoting on this. Winter just won't let go. Winter does not know when it's spring, quote. Another quote, the cold just won't go away, etc., etc. The mission of the Weather Channel and other power structure controlled disinformation sources is to cover the tracks of the climate engineers who are quite literally manufacturing winter weather events with patented processes of chemical ice nucleating elements used for weather modification. creating or augmenting winter weather helps to continue the confusion and division of the population in regard to the true extent of climate and biosphere implosion. This is the weather whiplash scenarios that are getting ever worse. And for those who come out of a chemically nucleated cool down, where temperatures plunge in the matter of less than a day in many cases, 50 and 60 degrees, and then the sun comes out the next day, and you can hardly stand in the sun because the ozone layer has been destroyed, because the blanket of greenhouse gases, including methane, which I already covered, is trapping heat. Climate engineering overall also trapping heat. We are in a full-blown runaway event at this point, and the only thing masking that is the climate-engineered chemical ice-nucleated cool-downs along with jet stream manipulation. This can't continue for much longer. In regard to denial, in one form or another, there is no shortage of it, as I already stated. On any side of the fence, there's no shortage of denial, from the Green Party to the Tea Party. Willful blindness to the converging catastrophes that are closing in on us all is epidemic. Here's a headline from Newsweek and other sources. Monarch butterflies have declined 90%. Conservationists seek extra protection. And those conservationists, I promise you, are turning two blind eyes to the single greatest causal factor in regard to the butterfly decline. And it's not just butterflies, by the way, it's insects across the board. I'll get to that in a moment. But the conservationists that claim to care so much, turning two blind eyes to the climate engineering insanity, single greatest causal factor for biosphere and climate implosion at this moment in time. Greatest threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm. And that's saying, again, a lot. The human race has been horrible stewards of this planet. From this report, in the last 20 years, the population of monarch butterflies have declined by 90%, greatly worrying environmentalists and researchers. Today, three major conservation groups and a scientist have called on the Fish and Wildlife Service to designate the brilliant orange and black insects as threatened. That'll save them. Let's just write a memo. That'll fix everything. A move that would provide federal officials with more latitude and efforts to preserve them, like designating certain areas as protected. Certain areas that are not protected, no area is protected anywhere on the planet from the climate engineering fallout, from the ozone destruction, and everything that goes with it. This is all smoke and mirrors, people who want to make themselves feel good, that they're doing something, and convincing the public that also wants to make themselves feel good that someone somewhere is doing something about the problem. No, it's up to all of us. We're the ones we've been waiting for, as the Hopi elders stated so long ago. Another headline, this report from Counterpunch.org, insect decimation upstages global warming. Not for long, because the planet, again, is on the fast track to something that more resembles Venus. I'll get to that in a moment with a report from New Zealand. From this report, an alarming loss of insects will likely take down humanity before global warming hits maximum velocity. The worldwide loss of insects is simply, quote, staggering, with some reports of 75 to 90% declines. I already stated that. And we've stated that, by the way, at geoengineeringwatch.org years before it was officially confirmed. The report continues, most people are blissfully unaware, and this may be a blessing. This is right from the report. Consider this, that most people are blissfully unaware, and this may be a blessing in disguise, as the angst, dread, and unease that this knowledge of this horrendous crisis brings is the root cause of severe bouts of sleeplessness along with difficult spells of deep depression. To be clear, if the insects die, we die. If the trees die, we die. If the oceans die, we die. If the climate collapses, we die. All are converging at once. If we have any chance whatsoever of changing course, it will not come by clinging to the, quote, ignorance is bliss mentality of willful blindness. That is the recipe for certain near-term planetary omnicide. The only way to deal with the problem is to wake up and fully face that problem. The only way forward. And psychoanalysis, as I've stated in many broadcasts, confirms the hallmark of a healthy mind is an unyielding willingness to face the truth, no matter how dire. That is a healthy mind. Anything less is something else. Not a healthy perspective. This headline from CNN, RT TV, and many other sources. Orange snow blankets parts of Russia. Yes, orange snow. From CNN, skiers and snowboarders were met with orange-tinted snow in Sochi, Russia this weekend. The usually powdery white snow turned colors due to the official story, due to a sandstorm that blew across the Sahara Desert. That's always the excuse. It's just Sahara dust. Doesn't matter where you're at in the world, that's the excuse they use. The report finishes with this. We're skiing on Mars today, exclaimed one social media user as he skied down the slopes. Isn't that a statement from a completely oblivious, unconcerned with the reality around him human being? Doesn't care that the snow looks like something from Mars. Just entertained by it all, perhaps on his iPhone at the same time. What part of the orange snow story did CNN not tell us about? And by the way, the orange snow was not just in Russia, but also in other parts of Europe. Consider this report excerpt from the UK Independent. According to Russia's environmental watchdog, however, the snow was possibly the result of chemical pollution, as it contained large amounts of iron, acids, and nitrates. Now, as I've stated in previous broadcasts and in article posts, it appears that solar radiation management, which is a very dignified term for what can only be called atrocities, assaults against the entire web of life, but the solar radiation management programs appear to also be being used for ocean iron fertilization. Therefore, we have the iron in the snow. Perhaps the wrong mix got put in the wrong place. So was this mix intended for some ocean sea surface to try to trigger an algae bloom to suck up some of the excess CO2? It kills the ocean below, but who cares if you're part of the power structure? If you can hide the buildup of greenhouse gases a little bit longer, even if the cost is total omnicide, that's their mentality. That's their mentality. No, this was not dust from the Sahara. Much more to this story. This next headline report was published last week from InsideClimateNews.org and other sources. Extreme iceberg seasons threaten oil rigs and shipping as the Arctic warms. As Arctic sea ice breaks up, it's starting to move southward faster, creating new and unexpected hazards. More icebergs calving off Greenland add to the threat. And here's what we have from the sites who help hide the climate engineering operations, help to create division and confusion in the population. When they see an iceberg floating very far south, even though that's from the ice breaking up and blowing apart, that means to them the planet must be getting cooler because more ice is breaking up and drifting south. How are the statistics taken or metered at this point from official sources regarding Arctic ice? As the ice breaks apart and floats out into a wider field of slush, officially, that's considered a bigger ice pack. And that's what hid the second lowest ice extent record this year, which is really a blatant, glaring lie. The fact that they are considering surface slush to be ice pack, and as this ice pack breaks apart and floats into a wider area, they're calling it ice pack. Therefore, they were able, with great effort, to pretend that this is only the second lowest year ever. Not true. The mass is all-time record low. The volume, all-time record low. But nobody reports on that. And the only reason there's so much slush on the surface is from chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. I've reported on this again and again and again. I've showed proof of these operations. When we have slush in Boston Harbor in recent weeks, or perhaps a month plus ago, on seawater that was 40 degrees plus. Why do we have frozen slush on 40 degrees seawater? And by the way, seawater doesn't freeze till 28.4 degrees, for the record. Because of chemical ice nucleation, why do we have perfectly spherical ice balls, not just on Lake Michigan water, which, by the way, the last time that occurred, the water was averaging 40 plus degrees, nearly 45 degrees. Spherical ice balls all over the shores. Same thing in shores around the world. In fact, we've documented this at geoengineeringwatch.org because of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. So let's look past the disinformation. We all must learn to be discerning if we care about the truth and who is trying to hide the truth. And there are many trying to hide it. This headline is from the Times of India. Mumbai swelters at 41 degrees C. In fact, we just got reports yesterday of temperatures at 44 degrees C, about 112 or 13 degrees already in March in the Northern Hemisphere, in the one teens. And nobody's reporting on that here. From this report, the scorching summer heat returned to Mumbai as the maximum temperature recorded from the India Meteorological Department touched 41 degrees. Again, this several days later, we're seeing about 4 to 5 degrees Fahrenheit higher still. Total meltdown. How desperate is the scenario we now face on planet Earth? Listen carefully to the 5-minute audio clip I'm about to play. It's a broadcast from New Zealand Radio in which frontline climate collapse scientist Guy McPherson makes clear we only have a few years of life left on our planet if we stay on the current course. That's my addition. When the clip is over, I'll make clear just how blatant McPherson's lies of omission are. What is he omitting from his narrative? Listen closely.
McPherson visited New Zealand with the message that human life had less than a decade left on the planet, basically, so we've only got a few more years to go. He cited climate change as the problem.
A temperature within that span that is at or near the highest temperature experienced on Earth in the last 2 billion years.
So, given what we've seen, you know, that was a couple of years ago, but given what we've seen with the clock ticking, and it's a much, much, much warmer time now, isn't it? Especially the last 12 months. Check out the sea temperature. We might be close to death, potentially. Climate change expert Guy McPherson joins us now. Guy, have you revised your prediction? Is it all over for us?
Well, yes, it's certainly all over for us in the not-too-distant future. For most of us, we'll be going sooner than that 2026 timeline I presented a couple of years ago.
Okay, so happy Monday. Everything's looking good. 2026, are you bringing it forward, are you?
Well, for most of us, I don't doubt that sociopaths in bunkers will survive for a few more years beyond, say, an ice-free Arctic. But it appears we're headed for an ice-free Arctic this year, as projected by a 2012 paper in the Annual Review of Earth and Planetary Sciences, as going to occur in 2016, plus or minus 3 years. So it looks like this could very well be the year the ice in the Arctic is very slushy. And as the president of Finland said recently, he's been saying it frequently, in fact. Unfortunately, he has a name I can't pronounce. He's been saying that when the Arctic ice goes, habitat for humans leaves shortly thereafter. So,
okay, so how do we die? Because people will be very, very skeptical of your claims that we've only got a couple of years. I mean, I simply don't believe you, to be honest, with all due respect. How do we die? Tell us what the end looks like in the next couple of years.
Of course, it's a horrible thing to take on, I suspect, because plant life will be unable to keep up with the rapidity of the rise in temperature. Plants will die, and we need plants to survive. We don't eat without plants. The water will continue to be fouled. The air will continue to be spoiled. But a primary factor will be starvation as civilization collapses and the inability to grow grains.
Well, can people
at scale
take this seriously, though, Guy? Yeah, but seriously, can people take that seriously, that it will all happen within the next couple of years? I mean, you're taking the mickey out of all of us and out of the rest of the world.
Well, you know, how you respond to this information, just like how individuals respond to a terminal diagnosis as individually from a doctor, is up to you. I'm presenting the factual information created, developed by, discovered by other people, other scientists primarily.
Can you name
and
the people that agree with you?
How you respond to that information?
Can you name a bunch of scientists that agree with you?
There are several scientists who do not disagree with the information I present. Does that mean they agree with me in public? No, of course not, because they would lose support for their prestigious academic positions if they agreed with me in public. So they don't ever disagree with me, but they don't publicly agree with me either.
So you believe that you're going to die soon, along with the rest of us. So what are you doing between now and then? What do you do with that knowledge? You got a bucket list? What are you doing?
I'm living as largely as I can. I am living in the Central American country of Belize, surrounding myself with people I love and doing the work I love, which includes education. So this interview is just one of many examples of the kind of work I continue to pursue.
So you say we won't survive as a people, but will the planet survive? And if it does, what will happen to it?
There's a very recent paper from late last year in the Referee Journal Literature indicating that when when intelligent life leaves the planet, it causes the demise of the planetary biosphere. So it could be, and I'm not predicting this, but this could happen, that the world's 400-plus nuclear power plants melt down catastrophically when unattended by people because they're not paid, because civilization collapses. So that could cause ionizing radiation to strip away Earth's atmosphere and leave us in the not-too-distant future looking a lot like Mars. So it could be that we lose the living planet. That's not what I wish for. That's not what I'm predicting. But it wouldn't surprise me, and there would be no human around, of course, to document that demise.
You seem very relaxed, and you sound very relaxed for what effectively amounts to sort of, you know, compulsory euthanasia of the world. I mean, there's no need for this debate that we're having in New Zealand about euthanasia at the moment, because we're all going to die anyway very shortly. I mean, do you look at yourself in the mirror and think, my God, I've had these guys, I've been on another television or radio program, because to me, I can't find anybody publicly who supports this kind of crap.
How can I look myself in the mirror? The only way I could look myself in the mirror at the end of the day is if I continue to promulgate the evidence rooted in the conservative referee journal literature.
But what about the scaremongering?
What about people who might actually believe you,
who might be scared of you, might be scared of what's happening right now?
I don't believe that there's any reason to fear or hope for a future that never comes. I'm presenting evidence. If people don't want to believe it and they want to call me names as a result, I don't have any control over that. I'm a rationalist. I've been pursuing scientific activity for a very long time, my entire adult life. If you don't want to believe me, that's really not on me. I'm presenting the evidence that it can all be found in the refereed journal literature. Whether you want to pursue it or not is up to you.
Okay, hey, we'll leave it there. I appreciate your time. Guy McPherson, who says that we'll meet our maker a little bit earlier than he last predicted we'd meet our maker, Mark.
The problem he's got is that if he's true, he can't tell everyone he told us so,
no.
Because we're all dead. He's got no one to glow to.
There's no na-na-na-na-na moment,
yeah,
is there?
Okay.
Let's consider this broadcast from New Zealand. First, the New Zealand radio hosts, clearly at least one, seems petrified at what's unfolding. And any way he can ridicule it perhaps makes him feel better. And we have great segments of population that are in this same category. Ridicule the truth. Now, but if we examine the current course that we are on, the inevitable outcome is as bad as McPherson states. Frontline data makes this clear. But what massive part of the equation is McPherson lying about? What extreme variable is McPherson not willing to mention? The global climate engineering weather warfare elephant in the sky. If we have any chance of buying any time in our rapidly unfolding planetary omnicide scenario, we must expose and halt the climate engineering insanity. And that effort will take all of us, each and every one of us. So in regard to the academicians like McPherson and like Caltech scientist Douglas McMartin, whom I just debated on live radio a week plus ago, the post of which, with a full video, including the documents mentioned that have been shown to support the data presented, can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org on the home page. There are only two types of possibilities to explain the criminal denial of climate engineering by people like McPherson and Douglas McMartin. They're either criminally negligent of the science in which they are, quote, official experts, or they are lying. Take your pick. And by the way, for the record, radio host Jeff Brady and WBAI in New York, the radio station that just hosted the two debates I participated in with two individual climate scientists, Paul Beckwith and Douglas McMartin, they're trying to line up more such debates. So far, Dr. David Keith from Harvard and Dr. Ken Caldera from Stanford have both refused. Why? Because they say climate engineering is not real, and yet they are apparently afraid to try to back up their official denial on the air. Why not? Because they know that in a live on-air debate like those that were just conducted on WBAI, their official false narratives would be exposed. Moving on. Biosphere implosion will, as I have stated so many times, fuel unbridled power structure, desperation, and insanity. Let's get to what's happening on that front. This headline from the BBC Ministry of Power Structure Propaganda. Spy poisoning. what the diplomat expulsions mean for Russia. And they're stating the spy poisoning as if it's fact, which we know it's not. I'll get to that in a moment. Russian, quote, power may be reaching its zenith. This is from the BBC report. To counter this, Western governments and societies may need to spend more money on defense. That's what it's all about. How many times have I stated that? The military-industrial complex needs to create the perception of conflict and threats in order to expand their cancer. That's what it's about. Now let's add this headline from the UK Telegraph and numerous other sources. US and 23 other countries join mass expulsion of Russian spies, quote, spies. Again, they state something as if it's the truth, to dismantle Putin espionage network. And the public buys it because they want to believe they're part of the herd that will keep them safe. They want to believe that, no matter how much that's not true and how much those that they submit to are actually sucking the noose around their own neck. The public wants to delude themselves into believing they're part of a herd that will make them safe. From this report, Donald Tusk, the president of the European Council, said additional measures, including more expulsions by more countries, could not be excluded in the coming days and weeks. Now we know that Russia has responded in kind and expelling their diplomats. These are the sorts of steps that lead to global conflict. But amongst all that's unfolding, let's remember and consider this. We can't forget this. All major powers, including Russia, China, and the U.S., are colluding and cooperating on the climate engineering insanity due to the cross-border ramifications. All of them. Let's hope we reach a point where they all begin to pull the curtain back on each other. We desperately need to reach that point. Along these lines, let's consider this very important and on-target report from former President Reagan cabinet official Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Reports entitled, Integrity Has Vanished from the West. And not that other governments are good or honorable, not at all. But let's take the log out of our own eye before we can do anything constructive. From Mr. Roberts, again, former Reagan cabinet official. Among Western political leaders, there is not an ounce of integrity or morality. The Western print and TV media is dishonest and corrupt beyond repair. Yet the Russian government persists in its fantasy of, quote, working with Russia's Western partners. The only way Russia can work with crooks is to become a crook. Is this what the Russian government wants? Question mark. Finian Cunningham notes the absurdity in the political and media uproar over Trump belatedly telephoning Putin to congratulate him on his reelection with 77% of the vote, a show of public approval that no Western political leader could possibly attain. The crazed U.S. senator from Arizona called the person with the largest majority vote of our time, quote, a dictator. Yet a real blood-soaked dictator from Saudi Arabia is pampered at the White House and fawned over by the President of the United States. The Western politicians and prostitutes are morally outraged over an alleged poisoning, unsupported by any evidence whatsoever, of a former spy of no consequence on orders by the President of Russia himself, so they say. This kind of insane insults thrown at the leader of the world's most powerful military nation, and Russia is a nation, unlike the mongrel Western countries. This raises the chances of nuclear Armageddon beyond the risks during the 20th century's Cold War. The insane fools making these unsupported accusations show total disregard for all life on Earth, yet they regard themselves as the salt of the Earth and as, quote, exceptional, indispensable people. The report continues. Think about the alleged poisoning of Skripal by Russia. What can this be other than an orchestrated effort to demonize the president of Russia? And remember, as I've stated in previous broadcasts, who has the most remaining natural resources? Russia. That's what it's about. How can the West be so outraged over the death of a former double agent, that is, a deceptive person and completely indifferent to the millions of peoples destroyed by the West in the 21st century alone? Where's the outrage among Western people over the massive deaths for which the West, acting through its Saudi agent, is responsible for in Yemen? Where is the Western outrage among Western people over the deaths in Syria, the deaths in Libya, in Somalia, Pakistan, Ukraine, Afghanistan? Where's the outrage in the West over the constant Western interference in international affairs of other countries? How many times has Washington overthrown a democratically elected government in Honduras and other Central American countries and then reinstalled a Washington puppet? By the way, John Bolton, part of the Central American death squads, School of the Americas. John Bolton has a very bloody past, and now where is he appointed to by Mr. Trump? The report from Dr. Roberts continues, the corruption in the West extends beyond politicians, prostitutes, and a complacent public to to the experts as well, as I outlined earlier in this program. When the ridiculous Condi Rice, National Security Advisor to President George Bush, spoke of Saddam Hussein's non-existent weapons of mass destruction sending up a nuclear cloud over American city, experts did not laugh at her. They did not push her out of court. They did nothing. The chance of any such event was precisely zero, and every expert knew it. But the corrupt experts held their tongues. If they spoke the truth, they knew that they would not get on TV, would not get a government grant, would be out of the running for a government appointment. So they accepted the absurd lie designed to justify an American invasion that destroyed a country. Again, academia, as I stated in the beginning of this broadcast, to preserve their paychecks and pensions, betraying the entire human race and the web of life. The report continues. This is the West. There is nothing but lies and indifference to the deaths of others. The only outrage is orchestrated and directed against a target: the Taliban, Saddam Hussein, Gaddafi, Iran, Assad, Russia, and Putin, and against reformist leaders in Latin America. The targets for Western outrage are always those who act independently of Washington or who are no longer useful to Washington's purpose. That's what it's about. Dr. Roberts has this spot on. It's not about freedom and democracy. If you're joining the U.S. military and you think you're fighting for freedom and democracy, think again. Think again. And it's not enough to have good intentions if you're participating in this kind of insanity. That's wrong. And I have given to DAV and VFW. I've helped to rehab NAM vets. My heart bleeds for them, for what they were made to do and what happened to them, and the civilians on the ground. But none of that changes. Continuing to head in the wrong direction for the wrong reasons, the blind order followers, without which this insanity across the board would not be possible. So for those, and I hear this from people often, it's not us, it's not the population, it's just those in power. Those in power could not do what they do without a willfully compliant and complacent population, without military members that are just blindly following orders. That's a recipe for near-term planetary omnicide. That's the path we're on. Continue with Dr. Roberts. The quality of people in Western governments has collapsed to the very bottom of the barrel. The Skirpal poisoning is an orchestration. That is obvious. The minute the event occurred, the story was ready. With no evidence in hand, the British government and prostitute media were screaming, quote, the Russians did it, with no proof whatsoever. Boris Johnson from the British Parliament screamed, Putin did it, in order to institutionalize fear and hatred of Russia into British consciousness. British school children are being taught that Putin is like Hitler. Propaganda. This doesn't mean Putin is a saint. Not at all. But how much lying is occurring now? With Western media, Western officials, it's beyond belief. Final paragraph from Dr. Roberts' report. Orchestrations this blatant demonstrate that Western governments have no respect for the intelligence of their people. That Western governments get away with these fantastic lies indicates that governments are immune to accountability. Even if accountability were possible, there is no sign that Western people are capable of holding their governments accountable as Washington drives the world to nuclear war. Where are the protests? The success of Western propaganda in creating non-existent virtues for itself is the greatest public relations success in history. Now, consider where we're headed. Again, biosphere collapse will fuel power structure desperation to push us toward global conflict in a desperate quest for remaining resources. This headline and report excerpt is from the Ron Paul Institute. Neocons are back with a big war budget and big war plans. While Trump and Mattis were celebrating big military spending increases, the president announced that John Bolton, one of the chief architects of the Iraq War, and I just went over Bolton's other past crimes, would become his national security advisor. As former CIA analyst Paul Pillar has written, this is a man who, while at the State Department, demanded that intelligence analysts reach a predetermined conclusion about Iraq and WMDs. Again, a total lie. He cooked the books for war. Bolton is on the record calling for war with Iran, North Korea, even Cuba. His return to a senior position in government is a return to the unconstitutional, immoral, and failed policies of preemptive war. Make no mistake, the neocons are back and looking for another war. They've got the president's ear. Iran, North Korea, Russia, China, who's next for the warmongers? And let's be clear, Clinton, Obama, and the rest, all the same. All the same. All part of the power structure play, period. All theater. Another headline, warship infuriates China after sailing within 12 miles of disputed island. This is from antimedia.com. In turn, China has vowed to accelerate its plans for the region in order to combat the American president. Who is on whose borders all over the world? Who's in whose country all over the world? The U.S. empire. And yet, who claims to be threatened by everyone all over the world? The U.S. empire. And the American population wants to believe that again because they want to feel they're part of the herd that will protect them no matter how immoral the behavior of those who govern that herd is. That's where we're at. Now, what are DC officials doing? Listen to this. DC officials flock to doomsday camps. Multiple sources cover this. I encourage people to look it up because this is what the criminals and our so-called government are preparing for. They know exactly where they're pushing us. And they're preparing. From this report, Washington, D.C. government officials are flocking to doomsday camps around the country, which of course begs the question, what do they know that we don't know? We should know. There's enough information out there to know, but we have a population that unfortunately still doesn't want to know. Another headline, officials flocking to doomsday camps. Similar headline, different source. This is from the WashingtonExaminer.com. From their report, a building network of backwoods doomsday camps around the country are pulling in members of affluent areas and even Washington national security officials and elected officials as the threats grow from nuclear war, an EMP, or virus attack. And here's the bottom line. Biosphere collapse can't be hidden much longer. And those in power know it as the population is forced to wake up and face the fate that's again, closing in on us all, panic will ensue. Power structure knows that. They're preparing. And what cards will they play as the public begins to awaken? The faster we awaken, the better chance we will have. We must beat them to the intersection. We must expose what they do not want exposed. And again, climate engineering alone should be considered our greatest and most immediate threat. If they change the toxicity of the mix that's being sprayed in our skies, they can level the playing field anytime they want. Exactly when will the so far completely complacent and willfully blind majority of the population from all sides of the political fence put down their iPhones, turn off the football games, get up off the Sunday service pew, and show some semblance of reason and responsibility to the whole? When? The biosphere is collapsing along with Earth's climate and life support systems. The clinically insane and completely out of control power structure is desperately pushing us all toward the final global conflict. And all the while, the majority of the population is engaged in one form or another of deck chair arranging on the rapidly sinking Titanic. As I stated earlier, everyone from the Tea Party to the Green Party, not focusing on rational priorities, starting with the preservation of Earth's life support system and every breath we take, every breath which is now inarguably proven toxic from the climate engineering fallout and other sources. Again, other sources of human pollution, human activity. We're being told by Breitbart, don't worry, it's all fine, go back to sleep. Anyone who tells you otherwise is lying, according to Breitbart. Believe them, correct? DDT is harmless. Breathing particulates is harmless. We have to see through that kind of smoke, mirrors, and absolute blatant glaring lies. We have academicians betraying us on every front. And again, I encourage those who have not heard or watched the YouTube on the debate conducted at WBAI with geoengineering scientist Douglas McMartin, take a look under the top stories and recent sections of geoengineeringwatch.org and see if you think he's telling the truth or blatantly lying. Take a look and then peacefully let Mr. McMartin know what you think about his lying and others like him. And by the way, anyone who posts a threatening comment, I've said this before at geoengineeringwatch.org, that comment will not be posted. Anyone who tries to submit that. And the excessive profanity will not be posted either. If we want people from the outside looking at our comment threads to see that we are a sane, rational group of people who are justifiably enraged and concerned about the state of our planet, we need to behave in an articulate fashion. And threats and profanity are not part of that. Your rage is understandable, but post something that will carry weight with others. Others who are looking in from the outside, trying to find out what's happening around them and trying to get their compass heading. For those with the courage to listen to the facts, for those with the courage to actually hear the facts and to investigate, consider at this most critical time, no matter what others do or don't do, The question is, what will you do? Whatever comes, when you take your last breath, as I've said so many times, will you do this with the knowledge that you did your best to sound the alarm in every possible peaceful way? Or will you take your last breath knowing you should have tried to make a difference, but didn't? To the legions of individuals that have long since abandoned the front lines of the battle for the greater good, it's not too late to do the right thing. Break the chains of programming and bias and preconception and the herd mentality, peer pressure, that so many succumb and bow down to. Stand up. Arm yourself with credible data from a credible source. Make your voice heard while it can still make a difference. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.